Hey, good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio Network. Thank you for joining us this evening. Hope you're going to hang out with us for a while here. It's about 7 minutes past the hour. The situation in Southern California is horrific, and it's getting worse, I understand, by the hour. Jesse in that area writes, San Diego County is in deep trouble. We have no National Guard to help. We'll keep you posted. Only she didn't use the word trouble. She used a different word. No National Guard to help. I've heard some report today. I don't know if it's true. It was picked up by several of the cable news agencies. There was a spokesman for one of the fire departments, or firefighting organizations. I don't know. I heard it in passing, but I heard it two or three times. And they said they have more fires have developed than they have firefighting units to fight these fires. And this is a perfect example of where the National Guard is vital. But the National Guard I don't know what the you know, how many units have been called up out of California. Maybe none. You know, I have no idea. But I do know this. There are enough National Guard units in Iraq fighting Bush's filthy war and occupation to put different areas of the country in serious jeopardy over when issues like this or natural disasters like this develop. Another part of the Bush legacy. Do you want to hear something really weird? I mean, this is... Well, what's the date today, Kathy? Is this the 22nd? All right, well, this was announced Saturday then. A proclamation by Bush. Yeah, National Character Counts Week. He issues the following proclamation. The greatness of a nation is measured not by power or wealth, but by the character of its people. Let's see now. We're supposed to go shopping while he plays war. During National Character Counts Week, we underscore our dedication to promoting values for our young people. Values? What values are being promoted for America's young people by this corrupt administration or its corrupt extended family? What values? And encourages all Americans to demonstrate good character. As America's youth strive to become responsible adults, I think a lot of Mr. Bush are just striving to figure out what the hell they're going to do in their working life. Huh? They carry with them the values and traditions they were taught as children. It's okay to lie a nation into a war. At home, parents and families can teach universal values such as respect, tolerance, self-restraint, fairness, and compassion. In the community, we can all set good examples and demonstrate the virtues of leadership, patriotism, and responsible citizenship. Members of our armed forces demonstrate the strength of America's character by answering the call of service to our nation. Service to our nation? Through the Helping America's Youth Initiative, caring adults are connected with at-risk youth so that they can have a mentor and an example as they navigate the challenges young people face. By working together, we can give children the skill and habits they need to reach their full potential. What does that mean? During National Character Counts Week and throughout the year, I urge all citizens to support the character development of our youth and make a difference in the lives of others, except where it concerns health insurance. We're not going to have any of that bat guano. Yeah, support the character development of our youth. If they're not sick and gasping for breath. But as far as providing them health insurance, no health insurance. One way for all Americans to add to the character of our country is to volunteer to help a neighbor in need. And more information can be found at volunteer.gov. I encourage every American to serve a cause greater than themselves and set a positive example in their community. Like you do. Now, therefore, I, George W. Bush, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution, Do hereby proclaim October 21 through October 27, 2007 as National Character Counts Week. I call upon public officials, educators, librarians, parents, students, and all Americans to observe this week with appropriate ceremonies, activities, and programs. As far as you librarians are concerned, okay, you won the first round of not being having to submit reading lists to the National Security Agency, but I get your asses on the second go-around. Oops, I'm sorry, different speech. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand this 19th day of October in the year of our Lord, 2007, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 232nd George W. Bush. Well, let's hear some character counts from Bush today, talking about the money he needs for more murder and death and destruction and killing. While Cheney antagonized Iran in a speech to the Washington Institute, Chuckelnut stood in front of the cameras today to convince the public to give him more money to continue the slaughter that he and Cheney and Wolfowitz and the rest of these bastards started in Iraq. When does National Character Counts Week begin? Oh, my God, yesterday. Did it begin yesterday, Sunday? Ooh. The giggling killer wants Congress to give him $196.4 billion war supplemental. Of that sum, $150.5 billion has been included in a previous request, while $46 billion comes in a new request. Here is our National Character Counts Week president of the United States.
Parts of this war are complicated.
Good.
But one part is not, and that is America should do what it takes to support our troops and protect our people. And today, I sent Congress an updated supplemental war funding request that will do just that.
It will.
The bill provides for basic needs.
Like
bullets.
Oh, and?
And body armor.
Oh, okay.
Protection against IEDs.
Uh-huh, what else?
And mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicles.
You say that so well.
These are urgent military necessities.
They are indeed.
This funding is what General Petraeus and other military leaders say we need.
They do.
And Congress ought to give it to them.
Yes, they should.
Members of Congress should consider the supplemental promptly.
Right after lunch.
They should keep it focused on true necessities, not pet projects.
Pet projects. Oh.
They should pass a good, clean bill as soon as possible.
Not a dirty one.
Congress should not go home for the holidays.
Any of them.
While our troops are still waiting for the funds they need.
I have a better idea, Chucklenuts. Why not bring the troops home for the holidays and spend the money on urgent needs right here in America? Let me think for a second. Okay, rebuild the cities wrecked by Katrina, fix our crumbling infrastructure, educate our kids, get them health care, fund medical research, pay back some of the national debt with $190 billion. After all, George, this is National Character Counts Week. What better way to demonstrate your character, you rotten son of a bitch, by stop your requests for more death and destruction and more requests for money for things like the list I just read off. Education, infrastructure, healthcare, medical research, the cities wrecked by Katrina. That's way beyond you, isn't it, George, huh? He says parts of this war are complicated. Yeah, especially about why we're there in the first place. Weapons of mass destruction, mushroom clouds, and nuclear bombs. So on Saturday, this freak has the audacity to issue a National Character Counts Week. Anybody listen to this program, if you're under 16, you know what you ought to do. You ought to write a letter to this freak and tell him to pound sand up one of his body orifices for suggesting that you, a 16, 15, 14, 17-year-old, need to be told about character by this murderous bastard? This is not real stuff, kids. You're caught in somebody's bad acid trip. And I'm sorry, but here we all are. Huh?
Oh, I'm Texan. I enforce justice for the law. We rise in Texas to enforce the law. Well, I'm long told. Texan, I enforce justice for the law. Come from Texas to enforce the law. People look at me and they say, oh, oh, oh.
is you the law?
In a nation where the dictator treated himself to palaces with gold faucets, gold-covered AK-47s.
That's the kind of stuff that makes Bush's wet dreams, you know what I'm saying? Well, if Bush is going to declare National Character Counts Week, James Risser, writing at Daily Kos, has also got a declaration. He has declared Bushismo Fascism Awareness Week. James writes, you can find this at dailykos.com. James writes, this week, David Horowitz and his band of degenerate murderers, religious extremists, and fear-mongering terrorists are polluting the country with their special brand of racism and hatred that we have come to expect from right-wing Bush sycophants. These religious persecutors, war criminals, and lackeys continue on their project to destroy America from within while murdering as many brown-skinned people as possible along the way. All who dare not bend automatically to their sick will to power and their destiny to destroy our fair game. Not only the religion of Islam, but the international community, its rule of law, and its respect for human rights are also in the crosshairs of these sick, demented, brown-shirted bastards. In honor of the great Professor Horowitz and to counterbalance his campaign to infect the world with his ignorance, I proclaim this Bushismo Fascism Awareness Week, and will present a series of diaries that describe Bushism and its basis in fascistic ideology. All right, there you have it. Now, if you want to catch James's series of diary entries at Daily Kos, you know what to do. DailyKos.com. Thank God somebody's on top of this, right? CBS has confirmed an article that was written by Larissa Alexandrovna at rawstory.com over a year ago. Larissa wrote that Valerie Plame's job was to keep nuclear weapons from Iran. CBS News has confirmed in advance of a 60 Minutes interview that occurred yesterday with outed CIA agent Valerie Plame that ran last night, that Plame, quote, was involved in operations to prevent Iran from building nuclear weapons, end quote. Plame told 60 Minutes, quote, our mission was to make sure that the bad guys basically did not get nuclear weapons, end quote. Plame also indicated that her outing in 2003 had caused grave damage to CIA operations, saying, quote, all the intelligence services in the world were running my name through their databases, end quote, to see where she had gone and who she had met with. Raw Story first revealed Plame's Iran mission and the damage done to CIA operations by her outing in a February 13, 2006 story by investigative editor Larissa Alexandrovna entitled, quote, outed CIA officer was working on Iran, intelligence sources say, end quote. In that article, a year and almost 2 years ago, Larissa wrote, according to former and current intelligence officials, Valerie Plame Wilson, who worked on the clandestine side of the CIA in the Directorate of Operations as a non-official cover officer, an NOC officer, was part of an operation tracking distribution and acquisition of weapons of mass destruction technology to and from Iran. Now, it goes on, but the point here is that the people who outed Valerie Plame, by any definition of the word, committed an act of treason. That's A. No, that's B. Here's A. A woman who was writing essentially a blog, rawstory.com, almost 2 years ago, had the facts on this story. Knew through her sources, Larissa's sources, what Valerie Plame's operations were involved in. So, It is just astonishing to me. On the one hand, on the other hand, it's yawn, business as usual. Almost 2 years later, CBS, not on their news story, or on the newscast, but in a magazine format on a Sunday evening, reveals what Larissa Alexandrovna revealed online almost 2 years ago. Son of a bitch. These people can get nothing right, can they? We wonder why we're in the situation we're in. Because 90% of us don't get our news from rawstory.com and like-minded websites, tvnewslies.org. I can go right down the list. We get our news from places like CBS, NBC, and ABC. The outing of Valerie Plame, as Larissa has written, resulted in severe damage to her team and significantly hampered the CIA's ability to monitor nuclear proliferation. Think about this for a second. Think about this. For God's sake, think about it. In outing Valerie Plame, these right-wing bastards in the Cheney-Bush combine guaranteed that these efforts by the CIA to thwart Iran's efforts to get nuclear weapons or nuclear technology would be stopped. So now, 2 years later, 3 years later, they can say, oh, we need to bomb them.
Who leaked? If anybody's got any information, they ought to take it to the Justice Department.
Oh, that'll
so
work.
So we can find out the leaker.
Yeah, let's find the leakers. I don't have any idea. It's who? It's Cheney? It's who? It's Wolfowitz? It's who? It's the former wet man from Vietnam. Who is it? It's a Scooter? Is it, who else, is it Armitage? If people have any information, they ought to take it to the Justice Department so we can get this thing settled. Yeah, we want to know what the truth is. Yes, we do. So it turns out that what Valerie Plame was doing was running CIA operations. No, I'm not a fan of the CIA. I think the CIA is a bunch of murderous bastards. I don't know what Valerie Plame did. I know that the CIA has been responsible for probably as much death as the entire U.S. military during World War II. Since World War II, the CIA has been responsible for that much death. Come on, be real. What pisses me off is not that CIA operations were exposed, like turning up a rock where all these worms... Okay, so Valerie Plame is a nice-looking worm. So what? Her function was still to destabilize, lie, subvert, do whatever necessary. The thing that is hideously, doubly evil about this is the fact that the Bush crime family outed her and her operation, and now scream about Iran getting closer to nuclear technology, which is precisely what Plame was working on, to stop them from getting nuclear technology. Rats attacking rats. Worms devouring other worms. Cancers eating other cancers. That's what these people are. So what? Am I getting all over Valerie Plame and Joe Wilson? No, not at all. Not at all. Life goes on. If Valerie Plame's objective was to prevent nuclear technology, you know, blueprints and information from getting into the hands of the Iranians. Whoever assigned that position was a damn fool. What? There's only one source for this technology? 10? 30? Whoever's in charge of this stuff in Iran can't go to a search engine and type in, I want to build a nuclear bomb. Please. Spooks and cops and robbers and things that go bump in the night. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Oh, my goodness. Let's overthrow a government. Let's destabilize a regime. Let's issue false currency. Let's collapse an economy. Woo-hoo-hoo! But I'm Valerie Plame. I'm good-looking. And my husband, Joe, is not bad-looking either. And he tried to bring a little bit of truth to the Bush crime family. It's not... Oh, God. It's not so much that... These kinds of degenerates are operating at the highest levels of government. It's the fact that in their little internecine fighting, in their little intramural bloodletting, in their arguing and fighting between the Defense Department and the State Department, now it turns out one of the reasons that Condoleezza Rice, this highly qualified Secretary of State, decided to use Blackwater is because Don Rumsfeld, in charge of the Defense Department, refused to increase the amount of military protection around people who needed it. So Ms. Rice, this highly qualified Secretary of State, was forced to go outside the government and bring in a private contractor. Or not. But that's the story circulating now. So because of the intramural bloodletting and the petty jealousies and, you know, my missile is bigger than your missile. Well, I've got more armies. Well, I'm in charge of the State Department. Well, I have Dick Cheney's ear. Well, I have his... Well, I can't say. People die. Thousands of people. Hundreds of thousands of people die for this kind of crapola.
Oh, look at me. We're playing I Spy. Woo! I Spy with... I play that with my three-year-old. I spy with my little eye something radioactive.
Don't you get tired of it, Truth Seeker? Come on. Don't you get tired of it? I know. It is not politically correct right now to say anything bad about Joe Wilson or Valerie Plame, and that's not my intent here. You know, they're spies, for Christ's sake, okay? We all need spies, right? Okay. The objective of the CIA is to overthrow, destabilize, butcher, murder, reveal. How much do you want? How much can you handle? But it is the evilness of all this. This intra-governmental slash and burn that turns my stomach. Oh, by the way, the long-ago dead Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff, and revived and resurrected, of course, he came out of his box of dirt when summoned, today invoked his power. Jesus, you expect to hear the earth shake, huh? Chertoff invoked his power. Mountains tremble. Rivers turn away. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my, run deep into the forest and hide. Michael Chertoff invoked his power to bypass certain laws to restart construction of a fence on the Arizona-Mexico border. Isn't there something spooky? There was to me, Homeland, when I read that today, Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff on Monday invoked his power. Jesus Christ, every cross in America immediately inverted itself. And blood started oozing from every statue of the Virgin Mary. Michael Chertoff on Monday invoked his power! And his tail twitched! Chertoff's action allows construction to go forward on about 7 miles of fence in the San Pedro Riparian National Conservation Area near Naco, or Naco, Arizona. Work on nearly 2 miles of the fence had been suspended since October 10, when a federal judge ordered a delay on its construction. The judge ruled that the federal government did not fully study the environmental impact of the fence. The fence will prevent the cross-border flow of vampires back and forth, you see. Congress gave Chertoff the power to waive environmental and other laws to build border barriers when it passed the Real ID Act in 2005. The Real ID Act? That sounds like something Evander Holyfield would be involved in. Oh no, he's the real deal. Excuse me. The judge ruled the government didn't fully study the environmental impact of the fence. Homeland Security Secretary. I just expect. Can you get some of the Kathy? Can you get some of the Carl Orff music up for me? Just a little bit. Just, you got a little Carl Orff there. Can you find it? This is so appropriate to Orff. And I know that Carmina Burana is not about vampires and death dealers. But just, you know, whenever I see a sentence that begins, Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff on Monday invoked his power, this happens. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff on Monday invoked his power. It's just otherworldly. Michael Chertoff on Monday invoked his power. Oh, did you see this? Ecuador's President Rafael Correa said today that the Bush crime family must let him open a military base in Miami if the U.S. wants to keep using an air base in Ecuador. President Correa has refused to renew a lease at the Manta Air Base set to expire in 2009. U.S. officials say it is vital for counter-narcotics surveillance operations on Pacific drug running routes. Yeah, the U.S. government has to keep those routes open so the drug running can continue unabated. But Correa said in an interview during a trip to Italy, we'll renew the base on one condition. They let us put a base in Miami, an Ecuadorian base.
A star werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's. His hair was perfect.
Find those those evildoers.
It's about 10 before the hour. By the way, You might want to go to democracyforamerica.com and take their pulse poll. They have you have to write in Al Gore's name, but he's leading right now. Al Gore is first, Barack Obama second, John Edwards is third, Dennis Kucinich is fourth, Hillary Clinton is fifth, then Bill Richardson, then other, then Joe Biden, then Mike Gravel, and then Christopher Dodd. But if you did this last week, I guess I don't know if you can vote again or not. Maybe you shouldn't. But go to democracyforamerica.com/pulse poll and vote if you haven't. I hope you vote for Al Gore. That's who I want you to vote for. Yeah, that's what you want, huh? Anyway, Ecuador wants to open a military base in Miami as a tit-for-tat, so to speak. The new, as Reuters defines him, Ecuador's leftist president, Rafael Correa. Well, he's not really new, but he's the one that came up with this idea. Correa said in an interview during a trip to Italy, quote, "If there's no problem having foreign soldiers on a country's soil, surely they'll let us have an Ecuadorian base in the United States." End quote. Yeah. The U.S. Embassy in Ecuador says on its website that anti-narcotics flights from Manta Air Base gathered information behind more than 60% of illegal drug seizures on the high seas of the Eastern Pacific last year. You know what an illegal drug seizure is in these times? It's one not sponsored by the CIA, the Carlyle Group, or the Bush crime family. If it is a drug shipment not sanctioned by one of those three organizations, then, of course, it's going to be blown out of the water. Correa, a popular leftist economist, had promised to cut off his arm before extending the lease that ends in 2009 and has called U.S. President George W. Bush a, quote, dimwit, end quote. But Correa told Reuters news agency he believes relations with the United States are excellent, despite the base closing. He rejected the idea that the episode reflected on U.S. ties at all. He said, quote, "This is the only North American military base in South America. So when the other South American countries don't have good relations with the U.S. because they don't have military bases, does that make any sense? The other South American countries don't have good relations because they don't have military bases? That doesn't make any sense at all," Correa said. "So we're not going to have one either, unless we can have an Ecuadorian military base." Can you imagine, Truth Seekers, in Miami? Can you imagine, Truth Seekers, if every country in which the United States has military presence demanded tit for tat and set up a military presence in this country? Oh, God! There would be, what, 160 different countries with their militaries running around the United States airspace, highway space, and crawl space. Can you imagine that? Yeah, we're going to get your phone calls. I see you all there. 800-989-1480 is the number. We have a break coming here pretty quick. Matt in North Plainfield, New Jersey sent this in. Mike, I was listening to Friday's podcast. You brought up the book, What's the Matter with Kansas, by Thomas Franks. Even though Franks' general question in the book about why working-class Americans in that region vote against their economic self-interest is valid, it distorts the broader picture. I'm not sure if you're familiar with an anti-racist activist named Tim Wise. I'm not. But he gave an analysis of this issue that pretty much blew Tommy Frank's argument to pieces. The reality in America is that white working-class Americans don't seem to understand their economic self-interest. But black working-class Americans do. The majority of blacks in the South back in 2004 voted against Bush, while the majority of whites in the North voted for Bush. As Weiss said, it's not a geographic divide in the country, it's a racial divide. The problem with many leftists is that we take whiteness as the norm. He gave this analysis in a speech called White Like Me, and there were plenty of other examples he cited. I believe you can get that speech from his website, timwise.org. TimWise.org. What's sad, Matt writes, is that many of these white Americans see racial interest as superior to monetary interest. I hope you can spread this message. Even though it's hard to take because of the tremendous barriers of race in this country, it's vital to understand because then we can know what we're up against. So check it out. Check it out. TimWeiss.org. Yeah, I can remember when Bush took over and I suggested, somebody said, well, that was a funny program. No, it wasn't. I was dead serious. I suggested and then reinforced the suggestion after September 11, 2001. I suggested every white American go find himself or herself a black friend if that white American didn't have one already, because that was the only thing that was going to get you through what I thought would be the next 4 years, was friendship with an African American, because they have been through all of this for about 350 years in the United, what became the United States of America. And any white person who feels like they're suffering because they're on the verge of a nervous breakdown, don't know how to cope. Now, I realize that of the 2 million people we have incarcerated in this country, which makes us the leading incarcerator, that's what Bush ought to be. I'm the incarcerator. The vast majority of these folks are of African descent to some extent. Don't pay any attention to that, because that's so much of that is political prisoners. But if you do, if you're white and you don't have a black friend, I'm telling you, you better get one. You better get one quick. If you haven't yet figured out, that's the only way you're going to keep your sanity. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Do we have some people on hold here, Kathy, before we get too deep into this hour? Yeah, let's talk with Leanne, who is calling from San Diego, listening on the internet. Leanne, how in the world what's going on in San Diego with those fires?
Well, we're in the fire zone here, and I'm one of them. I haven't been evacuated yet, but they are voluntarily asking people to leave. I live in the North County Del Mar area, that's one of the hot spots. But
How far is that from La Jolla?
From La Jolla, it's like about 5 minutes, 7 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. So there's like no safe place, because the fires just break out everywhere. But the unbelievable thing is that it has affected the wealthier part of the county. Very conservative area tend to vote Republican 99% of the time. So I mean, there's luxury homes being destroyed with horses, racing horses, real expensive homes, and these people have had to been evacuated and just, you know, go
and see. The video that I have seen is just horrifying. It looks like the structures that the camera catches, it looks like the firebombing of Dresden
Tokyo. And the air is so, it's like pea soup. You have to keep all your windows closed. You can't breathe the air. It's so bad. I mean, it's really, nauseating.
These Santa Ana winds, I've spent a lot of time in California. I have good friends out there, and Santa Ana winds, usually the most fierce ones, are 30 miles an hour. What is this I'm hearing? Over 100, this is hurricane force Santa Ana system.
Yeah, it was like a hurricane. I mean, it feels like the windows are going to blow out. I mean, it's not constant, and then all of a sudden it'll just whip up. So you don't know. Sounds like something's going to come through your window, you know, break the glass in your window. But trees have come down, and power lines. That's another scary thing, because the power lines go down, and then they cause a fire. So, you know, the remarkable thing is that I've heard so many people say, vote for Ron Paul, vote for Ron Paul. Anybody that's saying that right now should turn on their television set, because this is a good indication of what would happen if you did not have a viable fire department, police department, streets, and access to get to these homes.
That's right.
This place would be ruined. It would have been done. So I never want to hear that again.
Yeah, I don't know why the people who seem to support Ron Paul, and oddly, a lot of them are younger people, and I guess that's understandable. Young people, I'm talking about college age, middle of the roaders or moderates, don't seem to understand the interconnectedness that it takes to run a society the size of ours. A lot of these. Go up a little bit higher. The upper reaches of the 20-somethings were born during Reagan years, and they've been told their entire lives by media and probably family members that unions were useless, that do-it-yourself is what America is all about, that rugged individualism is what it takes to succeed, none of which is true.
Exactly, and that your taxes don't go for anything, except for times like this, when, our taxes are going to help people. I mean, you should see everything's been organized. People are going to shelters. There's been food. There's been water. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been systematic. There's been relatively few problems of the fact that we have these systems in place.
Right. Under Ron Paul, you could get together with your next-door neighbor and run a bucket brigade to try to save your house. And then,
right, or it would be every man for themselves.
Right,
you know,
and then you could burn up when that didn't work, and you were standing there because there would be no evacuation, there would be no public highways, there would be no tax-supported fire departments or rescue units or those planes flying overhead dropping fire retardant or just water.
Or how about even this? Privatize your insurance. Don't pay insurance, and when your beautiful house goes up in flames, guess what? Well, I guess you're out of luck, you know?
Yeah.
So... you know, these people that don't—they just don't think of this until an emergency happens to them, and then they will start to really realize and miss the things that we've had in place all these years. And just because you don't use it all the time, it's times like this when you're like, "Wow, you know, thank God there is a systems in place to help all these people." And I just want to thank you too for all your support. You are a wonderful person. We love you out here in San Diego, and we're fighting to keep KLSD on. I've been to a number of the Save KLSD rallies. We're trying to organize and keep our radio station going.
I hear you. Well, thanks for the kind words, Leanna. Please be careful. Seriously, when I heard something tonight, a fire person out there on television said to the people in that area, if you see fire, leave.
Oh yeah, just don't. You know what? It's not. You can replace your home and your money,
right,
but you can't replace your persons and your friends and your family. So just, I have my car packed and ready to go. If I get the call, I'm out of here.
Well, please take it easy. Please be careful.
Thanks so much, Mike. I will continue to listen to you every night as I do.
Thanks, Leanne.
Take care.
Right, bye bye. She makes a very good point about the libertarian point of view, the Ron Paul point of view. You know, I've watched Ron Paul on television going back to the mid-80s. He's just a big old teddy bear, isn't he? And he would cut your throat so damn fast for his political belief system, would I should say. Sarge is calling from Phoenix, listening on KPHX. Sarge, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, I want to echo her thoughts. You truly are someone that I have the utmost respect for. You've done for me and what you've done for Victor Lopez, who I heard from today, and he sends his best to you. But, you know, the thing that she was mentioning about Ron Paul, Ron Paul is running as a Republican.
Right.
He could have run as a Democrat. He was a so-called libertarian. But you notice he chose Republican because he fits more into the Republican mode. And if you want to see a good example of Republican rule, just look at the Mississippi Gulf Coast, the Louisiana Gulf Coast. You can see the horrors, the indifference, the class distinctions, the racism, all of that that's echoed. And I report it on unreportednews.net, and I've got it back up, and people want to go to it, please go to it, because I have an article in there or a link for justice for Mississippi or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. It's on the site. And it will tell you some of the filthy corruption that's going on in Mississippi and Louisiana. And you can see why the money's all gone. And yet we still have over 16,000 people in FEMA trailers who are suffering illness, who are hurting, suicide rate up around 300%. And that's 2 years later, Mike.
I know. I hope people go to read that. And also, I hope folks will make the connection that the same people who are doing that in the Mississippi Gulf Coast are the people in charge of reconstruction, ha, 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 in Iraq. It's
right.
The same people who are stealing, lying, cheating, and thieving. The same people.
It's exactly right, Mike, and I'll tell you what. The people, there's only around, I think it's 147 people who are getting the money from Haley Barbour, that thug. And would you believe none of it's trickling down to the people? People like Jim Yancey's having to raffle off a house. And if you will, I'd like to give that address,
sure.
www.jccsc.org. $20 the ticket. It is a 503. Well, a tax deductible, and you can find that on the website as well. But, you know, he's not getting one penny, and yet he's taking the second mortgage out on his own home to help build these homes. And this is a disgrace. This is an American embarrassment, Mike. And thanks to people like you, KPHX, Randy Rose, all of us who are trying to do what we Americans feel are right. We can't sit back on our laurels. We can't say, well, we come from freedom fighters. No, we come from them, but that doesn't make us one. We have to fight for it. And, you know, I urge everybody, please go to Jim's site, buy a raffle ticket. If you got a chance, go down into the areas. New Orleans, Mississippi, they're still hurting very badly. They need your help. The Army Corps of Engineers is trying to buy up property where people have already started rebuilding. Now they're going to lose it because these people are just destroying everything.
I hear you. It's jccsc.org, right?
That's right. I thank you, Mike.
All right, Sarge.
Look forward to you coming out here sometime.
All right, sir. Thanks for checking in. Keep your chin up. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
It is 21 past the hour. This little item certainly caught my attention. This is in the headline section of the website Israel Today. And it says, Israeli news evokes the Gog and Magog scenario. If you know about this insane Christian Armageddonism crap, you know what that's about. Here's what it says. Two of Israel's three major television news programs broadcast special reports last Wednesday evening dealing with U.S. President George W. Bush's warning that a nuclear Iran could lead to World War III. Earlier in the day, Bush reminded a White House press conference that, quote, we have a leader in Iran who's announced that he wants to destroy Israel. So I've told people that if you're interested in avoiding World War III, it seems like you ought to be interested in preventing them from having the knowledge necessary to make a nuclear weapon, end quote. Israel's Channel 2 and Channel 10 evening newscasts ran with the president's statement, presenting viewers with large world maps showing the possible alignment of nations in a future world war. On one side would be Israel, the U.S., Britain, France, and Germany. They would be opposed by Russia, Iran, Syria, China, and North Korea. Israel National News noted that the scenario was presented in such a way that evoked the biblically prophesied war of Gog and Magog, a global end times conflict spelled out in the book of Ezekiel. And if you want to go get your Bible, it's chapters 38 and 39 in Ezekiel. I'm getting nervous. I really am getting nervous. There are some people with fingers on the trigger who really want to pull the trigger, don't they? Huh? You know, so that the end times will finally be the times that end or something. These people are just starting to scare the hell out of me. Harry Potter fans, did you hear? The rumors are true. Albus Dumbledore, Mastered Wizard and Headmaster of Hogwarts, is gay! Oh, no! You know the irony here, don't you? You know who plays Dumbledore in the movies? Ian McKellen? J.K. Rowling, author of the, according to CNN, author of the mega-selling fantasy series that ended last summer, outed her beloved character Friday night while appearing before a full house at Carnegie Hall. After reading briefly from the final book, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, she took questions from audience members. She was asked by one young fan whether Dumbledore finds, quote, true love. The author responded by saying, to gasps and applause, Dumbledore is gay. Oh, God. So the people have been trying to ban the Harry Potter series. We have a freak here named Laura Mallory who has a kid in the Gwinnett County Public School System, and Ms. Mallory has been trying over and over and over again through the boards of education, through the courts, to try to get the Harry Potter series banned because of witchcraft. And it would teach our little darlings how to become warlocks and witches and wizards and all that sort of stuff. Oh, my. Well, you know, the courts here in Georgia have more or less politely told her to, you know, oh, please, go bake some cookies or something, but get out of here with the... But now, you know, it's one thing to be, to charge that our little curtain climbers are being taught about wizardry and witchcraft and how to be a decent warlock and yada, yada, yada. That's one thing. It's something else. And we can all smile and snicker at that, but it's something else again if our little curtain climbers find out that the headmaster himself is gay! Oh, no! We don't care if they're witches and warlocks, but a queer, holy jumping Jehoshaphat, ban the books! That's worse than that little freak on Teletubbies. Tinky Dinky Winky, whatever the hell his name was, is. Albus Dumbledore is gay. Oh, my God. Tap, tap, tap. Little foot tapping. It's just insane, isn't it? Of course it is. Of course it is. J.K. explained that Dumbledore was smitten with rival Gellert Grindelwald, whom he defeated long ago in a battle between good and bad wizards. And Rowling said of Dumbledore's feelings, falling in love can blind us to an extent. And she added that Dumbledore was horribly, terribly let down. Dumbledore's love, she observed, was his great tragedy. You gotta love it, don't you? This is Nova M Radio.
At your age, my shoes, not your shoes, I made it.
It's okay, Republicans. The pain will be over soon. Take a deep breath. Find your happy place. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. All right, where is everybody tonight? Only Athena wrote in and told me it's not Ian McKellen who plays the part of Dumbledore. It's Michael Gambon.
Oh, well, he's probably gay, too.
I'm sorry? He's what?
I said he's probably gay, too.
Michael Gambon? Who knows? Who cares? Anyway, thanks, Athena. I just constantly do it, don't I? Huh? Constantly get my finger caught in my zipper. What else do we have here? By the way, if you'd like to comment on anything you're hearing on the program tonight, we have, I don't believe this, I think every single line is open. 800-989-1480. This is from New Jersey. A New Jersey second grader drew a stick figure. And the stick figure was shooting a stick gun that got him a one-day school suspension, second grader. He's 7 years old. His mom told the Associated Press, told the Press newspaper of Atlantic City that her son was suspended for violating that school district's zero-tolerance policy on guns. She said her son told her, "I drew a water pistol." The young lad gave the picture to another child on the school bus, and that child's parents complained about it to school officials. This is not the first case in New Jersey in which students were suspended for depictions of weapons. Four kindergarten boys, oh Christ, were suspended in 2000 for playing cops and robbers, even though they were using their fingers as guns. It's mass insanity. It's a good thing these laws weren't in place when I was in elementary school. I used to draw what I thought were F-86 Sabre jets zooming through the skies of over Korea, blasting MiG-15s back then, MiG-21s, MiG-15s. I had dogfights and I had fire coming out of the wing machine guns that I imagined F-86 Sabre jets had. And I had body parts being, you know, the dirty, rotten North Korean commies. When my guys made a hit, the body parts would blow out of the cockpit of the plane. This is not animated. These are very carefully drawn by moi. You know, I'm 7, 8, 9 years old. How old was I? I guess I was 10, 8 or 9, somewhere around there. And I drew these pictures of North Koreans being blown to pieces by American fighter pilots, and nobody ever said anything. Stick figures, kid has a water pistol, is in the second grade, and he gets suspended.
Gosh, you sound like somebody like, I don't know, like Derek Schlesinger or something.
Dr. Laura's kid?
Yeah, didn't he put a bunch of graphic garbage up on his MySpace page when he was in the Army or something?
Well, that was real stuff. That was body parts, and he thought it was very funny.
Of course, you drew pretend body parts.
Yeah,
that's okay.
If your mother is Dr. Laura, you're going to go out and find, you're going to volunteer for a war zone to get away from the old woman, and then you're going to go get over there and take audio or video of dead people and smashed people and broken bodies because that's what you're thinking about your old lady.
Well, don't forget, he's a warrior. We raised him to be a warrior. Yes, we did. He's just so special.
Yeah, every time I start thinking about Dr. Laura, I do a web search and find those pictures of her. Whoa. Back to your phone calls. Mark is calling from Georgia, listening on the internet. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I love your show.
Well, thank you.
I'd like to ask your opinion of something.
Sure.
Why is it that conservatives, their leading spokesmen, are people like Rush Limbaugh, who's a drug-addicted, pill-popping junkie, on his third divorce? He's a draft dodger. He goes to third-world countries like the Dominican Republic for For what? You tell me what he's going there for.
We know what he's going there for.
Yeah, we know what. And you have Dr. Laura, whom you just mentioned, who's an adulteress. She took her husband, her current husband, away from his wife and broke up the family as his children by his first marriage attest. Mm-hmm. You have Bill Bennett, you know, roll the dice,
right.
Bennett. You have
right.
Bill O'Reilly, you know, Mr. Phone Sex Freak.
Yep.
What is it about these people?
They come out of the deepest recesses of the human id. We produce these people. The Republicans remind me of the evil force in the movie from back in the 50s that had Leslie Nielsen and before he got to be a comedic actor. It was called Forbidden Planet. It had Robbie the Robot in it. And an American spaceship. Anne Francis was in it, too. An American spaceship. Who was the old guy? Who played Anne Francis's father? American spaceship goes way out into outer space to check on this outpost where we had left a scientific expedition years and years ago. And the spaceship, our spaceship, sets down, and they set up a force field around it to protect it. And the rest of the movie is about this evil force that keeps killing the Earthlings. Well, actually, they're Americans. Who have come to this planet, and it turns out that the evil force is not a monster, but it wasn't. Walter Pidgeon played the part of the Anne Francis's dad, the scientist who was living on this planet. But it wasn't some evil monster, some space monster. It was some kind of a bad thoughts from the deepest part of the id. So that's a long way of saying I think that all Republicans, especially the ones in power, are creatures that have somehow escaped the collective id in this country. And they are liars, cheats, child abusers, child sexual abusers, adulterers, killers, psychopaths, sociopaths. They come out of the id, the part of the human psyche that we just beat down with chains and sticks and flamethrowers to keep it in check. And yet Republicans are manifestations of the id. There you go.
Well, see, I live in the deep South, very, very deep South.
Yeah, well, you couldn't be any deeper than me.
Oh. Well, George, Waycross, I think that.
Okay, I take it back. You're deeper than me. I live up here in the Atlanta metro area.
And we're surrounded by these people who preach, and they'll just, they're just filled with all kinds of things. And then when you get them behind the scenes, they're totally different. They're such transparent frauds.
That's true. You live near the Okefenokee then, don't you?
Yeah, right, about 10 miles from the entrance.
Oh, Lord have mercy. That's a strange place, the Okefenokee.
It is strange.
It is very strange. Well, I spent a month in Waycross one night, and I swear to God, I made an oath. I think Highway 80 goes right through.
Yeah, it does.
I made it, and that goes over to Savannah. And
yeah.
I made an oath one time I would never go back to Waycross. Man, I'll tell you, Mark, you live in a scary, scary place.
Oh, I know I do.
Man.
Economically and every other way.
You've got haints that run walk the streets down there that come up out of them cemeteries outside of Waycross at night. I know.
Yeah.
I've seen them. I've seen those haints. I know. I've seen them. Oh, well.
It's pretty scary.
Well, what do you do down there, Mark?
I'm a truck driver.
Oh, are you just passing through, or is that where
you live? No, I live here, but I'm a truck driver.
You live there. Well, are you married? You got kids?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
I just got a couple of pets. But I'm just intrigued as to how they can, the right wing, and I've noticed this, they can just completely ignore.
Yeah.
What I mean is that everything they say, they don't practice in their own lives.
They define hypocrisy.
They do, and it's like Ann Coulter. Now there's... I'm beginning. Listen, do you? There is a theory, many theories going on the internet that she's an agent provocateur. Do you believe that?
No, I think she's another right wing sociopath who happens to be a tall, skinny female. But she is nothing more than a right wing sociopath who has found a way to make money and hang out with Sean Hannity. And one of these days, she and Sean are going to be caught in a compromising position. And it's going to be sad for Sean's kids, but it's going to be great fun to watch the explosion.
So you don't subscribe to the theory that she kind of swings the other way, not...
No, I think Ann Coulter is just a totally weirded out, right-wing female. What's her name? The one who was an advisor to Bush from Texas, and now she...
Karen Hughes.
Yeah, Karen Hughes. The only difference between Ann Coulter and Karen Hughes is about 40 pounds and 5 inches.
Yeah.
They're both nuts. These are just right-wing women who are crazy, just absolute psychopaths.
She doesn't believe women should have the right to vote, for instance, Ann Coulter. She said that Jews are not perfected, right? Have to be.
Oh, I know.
Just insane crap like that. So I wonder if she's not in, if she's not deliberately or in some way unintentionally destroying the credibility of the conservative movement.
I would like to think that, but they love her. They just suck up to her. They love her. I think she's absolutely real. Mark, I have to leave there. Thanks, pal. Take care. Don't go near the swamp. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
I'm sure that Europe is a lovely place to visit. My wife would love to go there every single year. But they're just puppies.
Yep, 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 yep.
They need to shut their yaps, the big dogs over here. I will rule the world forever. I'm straight and white and male, American and free.
Condoleezza, check my pussy.
Bill O'Reilly, Devo Systems, mass destruction me.
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
Don't you dare to try to stop us.
10 before the hour. What's this? Glenn Beck on this right-wing Nazi who works for CNN Headlines and also has a syndicated radio program, according to Media Matters. On today's edition of his radio program, Beck stated, quote, "I think there's a handful of people who hate America. Unfortunately for them, a lot of them are losing their homes in a forest fire today." Beck's comments came as forest fires ravaged parts of Southern California, leaving one person dead, 4 firefighters wounded, forcing about 1,500 people from their homes, according to the New York Times. How much longer is CNN going to allow this piece of human waste, another one, to have a television program? The people who are being burned out in Southern California are people who hate America. Jesus God. Well, just like Mark, who called from the swamp. Well, not really the swamp, but damn close to it. About Republicans, this is a classic example of what Mark was talking about. My God, the people who are losing their homes are people who hate America. And CNN Headline News or the syndicator that handles this jackass's program, they don't care. You know why? Because corporate America supports this kind of filth. This is the filth. You think a movie that depicts sexual intercourse is filthy? Oh please. This is the filth. A handful of people who hate America are losing their homes in a forest fire today. I wonder if if one of those people, there's one dead so far, I wonder if he hated America too, Glenn. God, I wish I was on. At times like this, I really, truly wish I was exclusively on satellite radio, because I can feel those bad words just chunking up behind my teeth and lips here. I just want to scream them at this, at Glenn Beck. 4 firefighters wounded. Do you suppose they hate America too, Glenn? Astonishing. And the people at CNN will allow this cretin to go on the air tomorrow night, as they did tonight. And the people who syndicate, while progressive talk is being dropped all over the country, this kind of filth is spreading. You talk about a cancer. You talk about bird flu. You talk about a fatal disease. It is spread by people like Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Michael Savage and Hugh Hewitt and the rest of these pigs. I can just imagine some wealthy Republican who just saw their $7 million house go up in flames and finds out that Glenn Beck is referring to the wealthy Republican whose $7 million house went up as somebody who hates America and is probably a liberal. I can see that person who has just lost quite a bit of his or her material or financial identity traveling to wherever Glenn Beck's program originates and having a very serious conversation with him. Huh? Can't you see that? And then, of course, then you have manslaughter charges and so on and so forth. You know, and it goes to court and all that. But I honestly can see that. I can see a right-wing Republican who has just been deeply disrespected by the pig, the little piglet on CNN headline news, reacting in a very violent way. That's usually the way it happens. It's never the lefties who go berserk and pick up a weapon. It's always the righties who go after their own. Have you ever noticed that? Yeah, of course you have. Oh, God. There's not a tragedy that occurs in this country on a micro level, a macro level, that some filthy media Republican will not pick up on. Rush Limbaugh mocking a young kid who talks about health care because he's on he's on the SCHIP program, a kid who has brain damage, vocal cord damage. I'm not sure. I don't want to get into it, but Limbaugh goes in and mocks the kid. He mocks people with diseases. It's astonishing to me. And corporate America supports these people. And the radio syndicators and the mega networks like Clear Channel put these people on the air. What the hell is wrong with you? And you systematically eliminate the few voices that present a progressive or non-psychotic point of view. You slowly eliminate. What was the last one, the most recent one? A Clear Channel station in Austin, for Christ's sake, Texas. All the programming. I wasn't on it. Used to be on it, but it was Air America. And Clear Channel said, not enough of you. And now they have another Tex-Mex music station. Look what's happening in San Diego. KLSD is going to deep six progressive programming and turn it into another sports talk station. And if you're a Clear Channel executive listening to my tirade against your network, I frankly don't give a damn. I don't care about... Because you don't care. It's just astonishing. Something like Glenn Beck can be on the air. Something like Rush Limbaugh. Something like Sean Hannity can blanket this country with this poison. And this huge supporter of George W. Bush, who just recently sold Clear Channel to some investment group, can make sure that everybody in this country who wants to listen to talk radio hears this vomit. Shame on you. Shame on you. I'm Mike Malloy. We'll be back after the break. This is Nova M.
in a midnight choir. I have tried in my way to be free. Like a fish on a hook, like a knife from an old-fashioned book. I have saved all my ribbons with thee.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is Nova M Radio Network. My name is Mike Malloy. Email here from Jack. Mike, the tragic fire in California only seems to be getting worse. CNN is reporting that Governor Schwarzenegger is asking surrounding counties for more firefighters and equipment to help battle this horrific fire. Notice he's not asking for the National Guard. 265,000 people have now been evacuated. And Glenn Beck, you see, True Seekers, thanks, Jack. Glenn Beck says that some America haters are in the middle of a forest fire. Good God. Back to your phone calls. Mike is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening on the mic. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Okay, that's enough.
Hey, I got a question. Why are the Dems and the Liberals always painted into a corner to have to apologize for everything? Are we the only ones with a conscience, or you know, why is it always framed that, you know, we've done something wrong, or we're not patriotic, or we're not supporting our troops, or whatever, and yet these foul-mouthed people like Limbaugh and, you know.
Well, I get your question. I think it's because Democrats or liberals are more passive and less aggressive, and I think it all comes from the first time it went unchallenged on a real massive scale, I think, maybe not the first time, but the time that is most easily to recall is the 1972 presidential election when Dick Nixon was running against come on, Mike. Well, I'm just having a total brain fart here. McGovern.
Yeah, McGovern.
When he was running against George McGovern, and McGovern was painted as some kind of a coward, although he'd been in combat in World War II. He was painted as an ultra-liberal, a liar, because he hated what was going on in Vietnam. And he warned us about Nixon, and everything that McGovern said turned out to be true. Now McGovern is in his 80s, and a person like Hillary Clinton is saying she is from the McGovern wing of the Democratic Party, which she is not. But I think what happened in 72... And the Democrats never answered that, never answered all the charges, all the malicious garbage that was dumped on the Democratic Party as a group back then, and on individual Democrats or liberals. Don't forget, two words that were near and dear to my heart as a kid growing up, patriot and liberal, have both been turned into something horrifying. Patriot was stolen by the neo-Nazi right in this country. Now a patriot is some mouth-breathing swine who carries a Nazi flag and wants to kill Mexicans. And a liberal is somebody who, I don't know, wants to rape all the little boys and send the little girls into white slavery in some Arab country. It's insanity. And Democrats never fight back. Liberals never fought back.
Right.
I think that's one of the reasons I get so vocal and out of control on this program, is that if I had to deal with this on an upfront basis, I would smash somebody's face in. I mean that. I know what my limits are, and I know that there is a primal part of my brain that would get my ass in prison, dead, or a mental hospital very quickly if it were not, if I didn't go out of my way to keep myself isolated here.
Yeah, you know, and that brings me to another question that I've had all along, is that, you know, do they really think that we would not fight for our country? Do they really honestly believe...
No, right-wingers won't fight for the country. Republicans, conservatives won't fight for the country. Not liberals, of course we will.
I was in the military. The people that they're attacking were in the military. They were allowed to attack, you know, Cleland and mm-hmm. Kerry and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yet you've got, you know, these drug addicts who, you know, avoided the draft,
sure.
You know. And another thing, just another note, you know, something I find extremely ironic that Bush is asking Turkey not to invade northern Iraq. Isn't that just hilarious?
It is. I mean, it's a real knee slapper. Turkey, don't invade Iraq, please. Let us.
Yeah, let us do it. Well, Mike, I am really glad you're back on the air. I've loved you all along, and I haven't been able to catch you on the, you know, on the new hours, but I'm so glad you're back.
Well, thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Take care. Regarding combat vets who left a piece of themselves behind in whatever war they were lied into fighting since the end of World War II, people like Max Cleland, people like John Kerry, whomever, but especially combat vets who bought the story and either were drafted or volunteered. So many people in my age group were people who had no choice. They were drafted into the Vietnam conflict. But when I think how those people, what they went through, mostly men, few women, mostly men, a couple million combat vets from Vietnam. And I don't know how they can maintain their composure and not go ballistic when one of these filthy chicken hawk Republicans starts to diss them. Now, a lot of these Vietnam vets have had their brains so scrambled that they welcome people like George Bush or Dick Cheney into their VFW posts. And allow these chicken hawks to wear the garrison cap of whatever VFW post they have. But were it I, and if one of these, had I gone through combat, which I did not, had I gone through combat and one of these right-wing chicken hawks questioned me, I would, it would be all over for me. Because I would pick up a weapon, fully arm myself, and then demand that that person present himself to say the same thing to my face, which he wouldn't, because he would know that at that point I would kill him. Very simple. And then, of course, I would get a good defense team who would say, well, Malloy's insane. He's suffering from PTSD. He was in combat. He, you know, he's crazy. But that's... I guess the most direct answer to Mike that I can think of, you know, why does this continue? Because Democrats, no matter what filth these Republicans like Mitch McConnell, oh my God, John Boehner, Dick Cheney, Tom DeLay, no matter what kind of filth these pigs put out there, and then their whores in media like Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck and the rest of these people, then throw it into the echo chamber, no matter what is put out there. Democrats or liberals or progressives really are not inclined to get into a street fight. You know, don't get in a fight with a pig. You wind up smelling like swill. Is the high road response. But if somebody accuses me of being unpatriotic or a coward or America hater, or whatever. I used to get emails from people like that, and I would invite them to come and say it to my face. And of course, they're all cowards. They never would. None of them ever would. But that's the part. I can just see Max Cleland. Now, granted, Max only has one arm, but I am sure that Max could hold a handgun. A Glock 9mm, perhaps, and to the people who questioned his patriotism or his courage or his bravery, you know, I have this fantasy that were I Max Cleland that happened, I would have either invited that person to confront me head on, at which point I would kill them, or I would go track them down and kill them. But that's just me talking. Doesn't mean a thing.
Country that's safe, land that's clean and free. For every color and culture, every person, every belief. Your greed, your fear, and your lies ain't gonna push me around. I'm gonna use the power I have. I'm gonna vote you right out of that house, 'cause I am a patriot.
The Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
Twenty-one past the hour. Back to your phone calls here in just a second. At TVNewsLies.org, Reggie's blog today has to do. Did you all see Bill Maher's program? On, was it Saturday night? Saturday night or Sunday night? I think it was Saturday night. I've seen clips from the confrontation he had with an otherwise nonviolent protester out in the audience who was shouting about 9/11. Let me share with you what Reggie wrote. Soon after 9/11, Bill Maher lost his job on mainstream television for his remark about the relative cowardice of the alleged hijackers. I have to believe that he's been warned that any further discussion of 9/11 that does not follow the official Bush-PNAC line will mean the end of his career. It seems that Bill Maher, like so many others, has his price. Maher is a comedian who hosts a weekly show on HBO that includes commentary and discussion about relative political topics. He has no qualms about broaching very controversial matters, and is an equal opportunity host to people across the political spectrum who apparently may discuss any issue other than 9/11. Bill Maher has unequivocally labeled as fools all people who raise any question about the official story of 9/11. He has made his own acceptance of the Bush-PNAC line the last word on the topic. Anyone who would dare to differ is an idiot, period. Maher's histrionics this past Saturday night, running into the audience to personally oust a nonviolent, albeit somewhat disrupted, 9/11 protester, was one for the record books. It seems he will talk to anyone, no matter how extreme or controversial, from Ann Coulter on, but has zero tolerance for anyone who questions the official explanation of what caused the towers to collapse. Maher went so far as to say that on this single topic, of all the controversial outrages of this administration, on this one topic, he agrees with George Bush. Those were his exact words. Strange, but I don't recall the president ever offering an explanation of how the towers came down in an average of 10 seconds. Maybe Maher had a private audience at the White House and knows something the rest of us do not. Sure. You have to wonder why he would totally close the door to any possible discussion of the one event that made all the other horrors possible. There were a number of scenarios he might have followed to deal with the protesters Saturday night. For starters, he could have offered to invite someone of repute to come on the show and present his or her case at a later date. That would have quieted the protester as well as others in the audience who were angered by Maher's dismissal of anyone and everyone who dares to doubt the official lies offered by Bush Co. His ridicule of the 9/11 truth movement is way out of character for someone so willing to call all the other Bush lies what they are. And you have to wonder who got to him and whose backside he's covering. One can only conclude that Bill Maher is either a coward, sacrificing principle to protect his job, or a 9/11 gatekeeper of the first order, working to keep any open discussion of 9/11 from ever reaching the airwaves. This is not about what Maher believes or does not believe about 9/11. It's about his absolute refusal to consider that there might be another side to the discussion, especially in light of all the evidence to the effect that has been unearthed by scholars and scientists. It is about his coloring members of the truth movement idiots and nutjobs. There has to be more to the story than what appears on the surface. It really makes no sense at all. The attacks on 9/11 remain the single remaining taboo topic forbidden by all mainstream media. They alone made all the ensuing horrors possible, those attacks, from the Patriot Act and the NSA spying to the wars against Iraq and Afghanistan. By placing a wall of silence around any discussion of 9/11, Bill Maher has now established himself as either an official gatekeeper or a coward. Either role is despicable. Yeah, if you watch that, I'm sure it's up at YouTube or someplace. If you watch that 6-7 minute video from Maher's program Saturday night, where he actually, you know, he uses the F word. He said, "Where's the F in security in here?" From this person's out there yelling. So it's almost indistinguishable. I couldn't make it out about 9/11, about the towers coming down in 7/7, about a controlled demolition. And then Maher actually jumps up and runs into the audience, runs up the aisle, and starts assisting HBO security to get this person out, just screaming and cursing the whole way. And I agree with Reg, it was way out of character. Like, you, if you watch this, you're thinking, what the hell is going on here? What the hell is going on here indeed? So, I don't know. It is the one topic regarding the Bush crime family that is off the table for mainstream media. They will not discuss any aspect of 9/11, the events of September 11, 2001, that do not perfectly and totally and completely dovetail with the official explanation. 19 people attacked us with box cutters and brought this country to its knees. Period.
Primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Alan is calling from Miami, listening on WINZ. Hey, Alan. How are you?
I'm okay. I almost missed you there for a second.
That's all right.
So much of this stuff that goes on every day just makes you wonder. My observation is that I think we're in a civil war and we don't quite know it yet.
In this country?
Well, in many ways, one side seems to be have plans, blueprints, staff, generals, lieutenants, foot soldiers. The other side thinks we have a cold.
And so you're saying our side hasn't waked up yet?
Well, I don't think we understand the level of it. I mean, if you look at some of the history and you look at, you know, the kind of stuff that's been said and, in fact, even been written by people like David Horowitz and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard about, his plan about how, you know, ours is not to debate the other side. It's ours to obliterate the other side.
Sure, that's the Ann Coulter school of diplomatic thought. Yeah.
Well, apparently he wrote a book or pamphlet on that a number of years ago, and Newt Gingrich made it a point to give it to every freshman congressperson at the time.
You know Horowitz's history, don't you? He was a left-wing radical.
Yeah, Trotskyist.
Yeah, who tried to associate himself with the Black Panthers in Oakland, California. He was one of those sad, kind of weird white boys who thought redemption could be found in trying to declare himself an African American, or at least in support of. And because of the way he was rejected out of hand, as he should have been, He decided that not just all Negroes were lousy, but also all liberals, all leftists, anybody who worked for social justice.
Yeah, Leonard Bernstein did a better job.
Oh, yeah, he did. He certainly did. He certainly did.
Anyway, it might help us to think of the seriousness of what's going on. I mean, I've called at different times, and I thought you've been involved with the impeachment movement here in Florida. You may or may not recall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how many people are in denial of the need for it when obviously, you know, lately I've been calling impeachment as the T-cell of our Constitution.
Mm, yeah.
Because it was written in there to make sure that nobody would screw with the Constitution.
Yeah, good metaphor. Yeah, T-cell. Yeah, uh-huh.
And the fact is, if you put it off the table, what you're doing is you're breaking the law because the Constitution requires that you institute impeachment if that document gets abused.
That's right. That's right.
It's not an option. I wish some people would get to understand that.
I wish Nancy Pelosi understood that.
Yeah, well, maybe we have to keep... If we let people know that this is really a requirement by their oath of office,
yeah,
and that they could be held legally liable as accessories to crime if they don't get on the stick, who knows, maybe somebody will... The light will go on somewhere.
Yeah, I wish it were true. In theory, they could be held legally liable, but in fact, it's going to be, you know, same old, same old. Alan, thanks. I appreciate
take
you
care.
Checking in. All right, sir, take care. Undeclared civil war. That's interesting. I know the right wing has declared war on America. That's very clear. Whether or not that constitutes civil war or just an absolute fifth column. Surge in this country against the Constitution, against all things decent, is debatable, I guess. But, yeah, it's a good point. A couple quick emails here. Bob writes in, "Hi, Mike, this is what Brother Theodore said in the 80s in describing Republicans. They're the corpse at every wedding and the bride at every funeral." Oh, man, is that true? They're the corpse at every wedding and the bride at every funeral. Bob at superbeans.com. Go check out his website, superbeans, is as in coffeebeans.com. And this is from Todor. Subject line, California wildfires and the National Guard. Hi, Mike. I Googled National Guard and California wildfires, and I found several articles saying Governor Schwarzenegger has put a request through to the White House for the National Guard and military support, but nothing saying they are indeed sending support. It states that they are working on the request. Keyword, working. Does it take this long to get military and National Guard assistance? I haven't seen any news footage saying there is any military support out there of any kind. Let me guess. They're all in Iraq. But they're needed here, now. It's an outrage, and I can't stand it. Yeah, I hear you, Todor. Back to your phone calls. Steve is calling from Miami, also listening on WINZ. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good evening, Mike. It's a pleasure talking to you.
All mine.
You know, I want to know something that I really, really don't understand. I'm a registered Democrat, but, you know, of course, the worst in the war is the loss of life, you know. But money is not nothing either, you know. And every single time that Bush said, oh, we're going to need this and this and this. And then Reid said, oh, we don't going to give him a blank check. We don't give him a blank check. You know what I mean, Mike?
Oh, sure.
Every time. You know, they said, I don't know if it's exactly the correct amount, but they said that since the beginning of the war, we're getting close to $750 billion, Mike.
Yes, we are.
I mean, this is no joke, you know? I mean, we borrowed that. We don't have that. We borrowed that from China, from there and there and there, and you're going to be maybe three, four, 5 generations behind us who are going to have to pay for that, you know. So I really don't understand why. And like I said, you know, I'm a Democrat. I'm proud of my party, but not now. I'm not proud at all, you know. I mean, make a stop at it, you know. I mean, enough is enough.
Well, I understand what you're saying, Steve, truly. But you know what? Harry Reid and the Democrats on the House side, Harry Reid on the Senate side, Democrats on the House side, I'm sorry, Harry Reid on the Senate side, Democratic Party leadership on the House side will cave. They will either give Bush every single dime that he's now demanding to be thrown into this black hole of corruption that he has created, or they will give him more than he is requesting. The Democratic Party leadership is worse than the Republican Party leadership because we understand that the Republican Party leadership is corrupt, evil, anti-American. We hope that the Democratic Party leadership is not, and they continue to turn around and smack us in the face, kick us in the groin, bang against our shins, step on our toes, and otherwise insult us. I know exactly what you mean. Mary is calling from Memphis, Tennessee, listening on the internet. Hey, Mary.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I did it again. That's that social stuff. Well, the cockles of my heart were being warmed again, and I was happy as a China sow eating her own piglets. But I've sort of become a little bit depressed since listening to what
Since then. What caused the big turnaround?
Well, it's the thought of all these right-wingers assaulting people who are just trying to be alone, coping with the deaths in their family and the overturning of our government and all these other things. Mm-hmm. But let me get back to what was warming my heart cockles.
Okay, all right.
Okay. You had mentioned the general strike on November the 6th.
Yes.
And I have already informed the people that I work for that I'm not going to be available on November the 6th. And
good for you.
All the grids are going off, and I'm not buying, and I don't have a car, so I'll be walking and biking and so forth and so on, and speaking with people. And the other thing I will be doing is wearing orange.
Orange.
Yes.
Yeah, that's become the kind of the color of the people's resistance against a illegal regime.
Well, I like that. It's from worldcan'twait.org,
mm-hmm.
And their slogans drive out the Bush regime.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just watching a YouTube thing on this today, and a fellow was saying, well, who's going to stop this corporatist regime? And it's not the Republicans, for sure, and it's not the Democrats, and it's not the courts or the press.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves us. And we outnumber the Bushites.
Yeah, we do.
And people don't know that, really, because the other side is so vocal and has such control of the media.
If they do know it, they know it in the abstract, and it can be applied in the real world. And this is the thing that drives me insane, Mary. We could change, as the website says, we could drive out the Bush regime tomorrow morning. All it would take would be about 10 million people, which is... 3% of our population, to descend on the White House and refuse to move until Bush and Cheney left. But for some reason, we just won't do that. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more... We'll be right back.
10 before the hour, Civil Unrest, a founding member of Nova M, would like me to refer to Governor Mike Huckabee of Arkansas as Hucklenuts. Not Chucklenuts, that's Bush's, but Hucklenuts. And why? Because of some of the insane stuff that Huckabee said, such as his recent claim the other night that most of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were clergymen. This was at Sunday's debate. There was a debate Sunday? I guess there was, in Orlando. And according to PolitiFact, during the Republican debate, Mike Huckabee said he believes one of the defining issues facing the country is the sanctity of human life. Arguing that the issue is of historical importance, he invoked the Declaration of Independence's rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and said that most of the signers of the Declaration were clergymen. Let me digress a moment. When these people talk about the sanctity of human life, they're talking about abortion, obviously. They're not talking about murderous wars. Only one of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence was an active clergyman. That was John Witherspoon. He was a Presbyterian minister and president of the College of New Jersey, which is now Princeton University. A few of the signers were former clergymen, though it's a little unclear just how many. The Conservative Heritage Foundation said two other signers were former clergymen. The religion website adherence.com said four signers of the Declaration were current or former full-time preachers. But everyone agrees only Witherspoon was an active minister when he signed the Declaration of Independence. We'd like to give Huckabee every benefit of the doubt, but even if you consider former clergymen among the signers, the best you can come up with is four out of 56. That's not most. That's pants on fire wrong. So, Mr. Hucklenuts. See, this is what they do. Doesn't Hucklenuts understand that all this stuff can be checked at the speed of light just by logging on? Oh, never mind. Thanks to the crew, Ian Huff, who engineered the program and answered your phone calls in Phoenix, KPHX, Billy Foster, who... Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, and also Catherine Bay, executive producer. Let's go back to your phone calls here as... quickly as we can. Mark is calling from St. Augustine, listening on the internet, St. Augustine, Florida. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
It's the first time I've ever called into a radio program, so I'm a little nervous. I did want to start out by saying a few years back, someone in my life once told me that my problem was that I'm a liberal.
Uh-huh.
And I went home and I didn't respond at the time. I went home and looked up the word liberal in my dictionary that my seventh grade teacher gave to me. I was homebound then.
Yeah,
and I looked it up, and I'm like, "Wow, that's great! That's a great thing."
Yeah,
that's not such a thing. They said it like it was such a nasty, terrible thing. And anyway, I'm 24 years old, and I voted in the last two elections here in Florida, third Florida caller you've had, by the way.
I'm sorry. Say it again.
I'm 24, and I voted in the last two elections.
Right.
In the third Florida caller you've had, by the way.
Okay.
And I was really proud that I was part of the ballot initiative to get banned smoking in public places and stuff. But when it comes to this Democratic ticket, I've been watching the debates. The only one who really seems to make sense to me and give honest answers is, surprise, surprise, Dennis Kucinich.
Yeah, it does seem that way sometimes, doesn't it? I just wish that, just for the sheer hell of it, Al Gore would participate in some of these debates. Wouldn't that be funny?
That'd be great to see a Gore-Kucinich ticket, I think.
I think you've stumbled onto something there, Mark.
Really? Okay. but this seems like I read, I pay attention to a lot of what's going on to me. I go to, like, truth.org and read a lot of articles. Watch Democracy Now! Almost daily with my dad, who's a Vietnam vet, and set up with all this stuff, too. And I just fear, you know, you mentioned corporate America a lot of the time. I think it's a lot bigger than that. I think it's the corporate world, a very well-oiled, very well-funded machine that's just taking over this the New World Order George H.W. was talking about really coming to fruition, you know, with all these trade agreement. You know, you have to have manufacturing jobs to manufacture things to export can't just import everything and then borrow money to keep a country afloat.
That's true. Or have the population live from cashing in its house equity, its home equity.
Hey, you can't live on borrowed money. You have to have something firm to back it up.
At some point, yeah, you do, don't you?
I did watch Zeitgeist. I heard you talk about that. I downloaded it and put it on DVD and letting lots of people borrow it. I never even knew there was a gold standard on the dollar until, what was it, 1933?
Yeah.
I'm pretty young, though.
Yeah, the money was backed by something as substantial as gold, but when you get right down to it, what is gold?
Metal.
Right.
Just a chunk of metal.
Yeah, it just gets crazier and crazier. Mark, let me leave it there. I hope you call again. I'm glad you called in. I think you're the first time you ever called a talk show. I think you're the first caller I've gotten from St. Augustine, Florida, at least in a long time. Thanks, pal. Take care. Robin is calling from Florida, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Robin, welcome to the program.
Hello. Is this Mike?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Mike. I appreciate your having me on your show. Your call screener probably told you, probably have it on your system, that I'm a conservative and I'm also a Christian, but be that as it may.
Well, no, he doesn't have that, but that's okay. I won't hold that against you.
Okay. Well, anyway, I appreciate it. I listen to you while I'm driving. I'm driving right now, and I also listen when I can to, you know, a lot of conservative talk shows, and
Robin, I hate to say this, but my producer just started the end of the evening theme music, so we're going to have to boogie, but if you'll call back tomorrow, you know, before we only have a 40 seconds left in the program, I'll be happy to put you on and see what you've got to say. I'll see you tomorrow night, True Seekers. Take care, all right? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.